Rav Nosson Gestetner was an awesome Jew who passed away in Tavshin Ayin Aleph. I actually met him one time. Went to his house in Bnei Brak one time. And he's just one of these people. You take one look at him, you see this person knows Kol HaTorah Kula. You don't have to read any of his Svarim. He had this kind of glow to him. And I remember looking into the side room, it looked like a dining room table, maybe that's where he ate on Shabbos, I don't know, there's just piles and piles of Sfarim and notebooks, and there's an unbelievable amount of Torah that he produced in his 78 years. Some of it was published in his lifetime, some of it's still coming out, more and more volumes. I bought a bunch of Sfarim off of him at the time, and I got a bracha from him. But he was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, ran away from Kavod his whole life, really a little bit below the radar in a certain sense. Of course, the people in Bnei Brak knew of him, but a lot of people, when he passed away, people didn't even know. People who learn Torah don't necessarily even know his name so well. But he was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and I find that his Sfarim are very, very sweet. He has a really awesome ability to say very sweet Chidushim. So he has here in his volume on Tishrei, on Elul and Slichos, Rosh Hashanah, he has a section on Rosh Hashanah, and he talks about the Minhag Yisrael to dip the apple in the honey. And he gives, we'll see, is six reasons for the Minhag. Okay? And they're very beautiful chidushim. So we'll start at the bottom right-hand corner. Inyan achilas tapuach b'dvash. What is this Minhag of eating an apple with honey? Haramazal b'darche Moshe. Rav Moshe Israelis, the Ramaz, we know from Shulchan Aruch, also wrote a commentary on the Torah called the Darche Moshe. So in the Darche Moshe, he brings in the name of the Maharil, Shalokhin Tapuach Baleil Rosh Hashanah. This is where the Minhag comes from. It's one of the early sources for the Minhag. We take an apple on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, Kedei Lirmoz Al Stei Tapuchim Hayadua. Very deep secret here. It hints to the Sedei Tapuchim. It hints to the apple orchard that is well known. Hanir mazba mikra, which is alluded to in the pasuk, re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach hasada. And when Yaakov comes in the disguise of Esav to get the bracha from his father Yitzchak, he says it smells like a field, it smells like fresh fruit, it smells like an apple orchard, which of course is bring merumas to Gan Eden, which is sometimes referred to as the Sdei Tapuchim, or in the language of the Arizal, the Chakal Tapuchin. Okay? So, we're hinting to something very deep. Something beyond this world. V'hainu kishas tanis, as the Gemara says in Tanis, kareya chasada shal tapuchim. Right, again, even though Yitzchak says, I smell the scent of a scented field, but Chazal revealed to us it's an apple orchard. What's the inyan of the tapuach? That's the origin of this minhag. What's the inyan of the tapuach? Inyanu yesh lomar. The Gemara in Shabbos says on Peches, Lama nimshul Yisrael tapuach. Why are the Jewish people compared to a tapuach? Now it's interesting. If you look at Tosos there in Shabbos daf Peches, Tosos says that tapuach actually in that context means an esrog, not an apple. But we're going to go with the minhag that people use apples, not esrogim. Okay, so why are Klal Yisrael compared to a tapuach? Lomar matapuach ze pirio kodem la'alav af Yisrael hegdimu nasa l'nishma. Just like the tapuach produces fruit before the leaves, meaning typically you have leaves and then you have a small bud and then it evolves into a fruit. But the tapuach grows in an unusual order. The fruit appears even before the leaves appear. So too, that's like the Jewish people who also sometimes present themselves out of order, or a higher order of Nasa before Nishma, when we committed ourselves to do before we even know what we were signing up for. Umavur she Yisrael nagu lifnei mishuras hadin. So that's an amazing thing. That's a big praise of Klal Yisrael, that we were willing to trust Hashem to such a degree that we signed up for a Torah we didn't even know what we were signing up for. Sharei miderecha olam she'ein al demakabel al atzmo davar la'asoso. It's very unusual for a person to commit himself to do something if he doesn't even know what he's signing up for. You should read the document before you sign it. As the Gemara says, one of the tzaddukim made fun of Rava. The Amar Hahu Tzaduki LaRava. A tzaduki was once poking fun at the great Torah giant Rava. Ama Paziza. You hasty people. Dekadmisu Pumaychu L'udnaychu. You put your mouth before your ears. You spoke out of order. Who commits themselves to something as serious as the many laws of the Torah without even knowing what it is? Nishma, listen to it, and then nasa, then do it. But we look at it as a praise that Klal Yisrael trusted Hashem. We went lefinim yishura sadin, beyond what was rational, and we signed up for Torah before we knew what it was. So therefore, if that's what the tapuach represents, again, if Klal Yisrael is compared to a tapuach, and a tapuach reminds us of the nasa and nishma, us going what? Lefinim yishura sadin, so then what better thing to bring to the table in Rosh Hashanah? Hashem, we need you to go lefinim yishura sadin. On the day or the night, in the period when Klal Yisrael, when the whole world, humanity, is being remembered, being judged, if Hashem is going to present Himself with the full demands of judgment, of justice, so then who could possibly withstand such a judgment? And therefore, lachein ochlin tapuach, we bring out the tapuach. The tapuach, whose fruit precedes its leaves. V'zero meiz, and that reminds us, Shekdimu Yisrael nasa l'nishma. We went lefinim yishura sadin with you, Hashem. We took your Torah when it was irrational. V'im kein, b'din hu, shegam Hashem yisbarach, yisnahi gimanu, mida k'neged mida, b'lefinim yishura sadin. That's the message of the tapuach. The tapuach means that sometimes we do things that are irrational, but we do it for you. So Hashem, even though we don't really deserve necessarily another year of life based on our behavior, but Hashem, we want to remind you that we've sometimes gone above and beyond for you, so we ask you to go above and beyond for us. Therefore, we ask that Hashem should please spare us and give us only bracha and life. So what about the dvash? How does the honey tie into this? So that's what the tapuach is, nasa v'nishma. What about the honey? So it says Rav Nassim Gestetner with his awesome Bekiyas, Mashal Tov Lena Tapuach Davka B'Dvash Yesh Lomar. The Alshech explains the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Rav Moshe Alshech lived about 500 years ago. And the Alshech writes in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Dvash V'Chalav Tachas L'Shonech. Honey and milk beneath your tongue. Dvash Romez Al-Bechinas Nasa. The Alshech explained. Dvash represents doing. Ki hu nasa al yedei maisa hadivorim haloktos hadvash me asavim uprachim. Because the bees have to work very hard in order to produce the honey. So honey comes about through the tremendous efforts of the bees gathering and producing the honey. And chalav, milk, top of the next page, milk is romez albuchinas nishma. Honey and milk represent nasa and nishma. So the Alshech says, how does milk represent nishma? Shachalav nepach me'elav midam hachai v'nasa chalav below maisa. V'zeh romiz al mitzvos ruchanios ayin sham. The Alshech says, it's based on a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says in Bechoros that blood can be turned into milk. Now, what that means scientifically, biologically, is a very good question. But when a woman gives birth, she stops getting her period while she's nursing, and she's able suddenly to start producing milk from her breasts, which is a remarkable thing. So Chazal have some notion that it's as if the uterine blood has become milk, that blood became milk. But the woman doesn't do anything. She doesn't have to, she doesn't have to have a surgical procedure to switch over from blood to milk. The body automatically, upon producing a child, knows that it needs to, the baby begins to suckle from its mother, and the mother produces milk, miraculously, unbelievable. One of the wonders of the human body that Hashem has created. So the milk happens almost on its own. Like the nishma, when a person just listens to something, there's not, right? You're just saying, you're absorbing, but you're not actually active. So therefore, honey represents nasa, and milk represents nishma, the more passive nishma. So if that's true, it says with Nassim Gestetner where it's underlined, So if again we're emphasizing that there was a nasa on our part before the nishma, so we eat the tapuach midvash. Both parts hint to nasa before nishma. Tapuach, we said from the Gemara, reminds us that what? The tapuach produces fruit before leaves. So that's nasa before nishma. And according to the Alshech, on the pasuk dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonich, dvash is also nasa as opposed to chalav, which is nishma. So therefore, when you take the apple, which is nasa, and you put it into the honey, which is also nasa, we're really hinting strong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what we did, nasa before nishma. Look at our commitment to you, Hashem. Lifnim mishur asadin, we went above and beyond for you. V'zoi melitza tova liyisrael, and that's a very great merit for the Jewish people. Shagam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisnai Gimanu Lefnim Mishur
Asadim. The honey represented Nasa also.
The honey represents Nasa because the bees work hard to do, as opposed to Chalav, the milk, which comes about more, you know, almost automatically. It's produced without effort, below Masa. So that represents Nishma. So if honey somehow has a connection to Nasa, again, the Tapuach hints to Nasa, and the honey hints to Nasa. And what we're hinting to Hashem is that, Hashem, look what we did for you. When the whole world said, what's in the Torah? And they still didn't take it. We didn't even ask. We took it above and beyond. So therefore, Hashem, don't be so medactic. When you look at our cheshbon at the end of the year, and you're looking at mitzvos and averos, just realize that we've gone above and beyond for you, in a certain sense, just by accepting the Torah. And we ask, you do the same for us when it comes to judging us. Go above and beyond. Give us a good year, even if we don't really deserve it. Okay, that's explanation number one for both the apple and the honey. Bays, number... Gam, now, if you never heard this, you're in for a big treat right now. An apple hints to Hashem's name. Yud kei vav kei. It's all in the apple. The yud and the hey and the vav and the hey. It's all found in the apple. How so? He says, Shamati, I've heard. It's a little unclear what the source is. And if Nassim Gestetner is not giving us a precise source, so then it's probably going to be hard to find what the early source is, but there is a Kabbalah of such an idea. Ki tapuach nirmaz shem havaya baruch hu. That an apple, the physical structure of the apple hints to Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. How so? Shem chotchim tapuach berochvo. If you cut the tapuach along its width, nirim saviv hagarinim eser nekudos, Harom Zimal Os Yud. It'll produce, yeah, I had an apple today and then I ate it and then I learned this piece and I was upset that I didn't save it for show and tell. Okay? If you cut the apple in half, I don't want to pull up a picture. So I want to pull up a picture of an apple sliced open. You understand what he's saying? You cut the apple, you know, like that star shape? You know, you've done this before? You've cut the apple, it looks like it has 5 points to it. So if you cut it in half, you have like two stars with 5 points each. So those 10 nekudot, those 10 points, represent the yud. Yud is gematria 10, of course. Okay. On the inside of the apple, you'll notice that there are garinim, there are seeds. Garinim chamesh, there are 5 seeds. Rom zemal os hay. That's the hay of yud kei vav kei. The little stem on top, mamish looks like a little vav. The little stem on top, which you can hold the apple by, that's the vav. And where's the final hay? Chevra, where's the final hay? The chamesh olim ketanim shebetachti esatapuach. If you look at the bottom of the apple, there's also 5 little points of the leaf, which is the final hay of Hashem's name. So an apple, mamish, is alluding to yud kei vav kei. Now, what is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei? So we think of Yud Kei Vav Kei as Hashem's name of Chesed. The truth is, more precisely, it's Hashem's name of Rachamim. As he writes here, V'hu Shem Midas HaRachamim. So you take an apple, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is already good for Klal Yisrael, and we dip it into honey, V'tov L'moso B'dvash L'rameis, Alham Taka Gemura Shal Midas Rachamim, Belita Aroves Midas Hadin Klal. We put it into honey, submerge it in the sweet honey. You have to understand, the midah of rachamim, right? What is chesed? Chesed just means giving and doing. But the downside of chesed, as I mentioned earlier today, is that you could use chesed in a destructive way. If there's a person who's addicted to drugs and you give them money and they spend it on drugs, then giving them tzedakah didn't help them. You hurt them. So rachamim is a more balanced type of chesed where you're able to analyze. You're able to, sometimes holding back is the best way of helping a person. Rachamim is somehow a blend of chesed and gvura. It's more inclined towards doing good, but it's a more nuanced good than just the giving of chesed. So we take the apple, which has yud kei vav kei, which is the midah of rachamim, and then we try to sweeten it completely by dipping it into the honey. Ukeinian zek kosov hasefer kadosh priets chayim, shetov likros al shulchan b'leil rosh hashanah meseches rosh hashanah. You ever hear this minag? It's brought in the writings of the Arizal and the Priyat Chaim that a person, and that's why it's printed in every article sitter. It's a Kabbalistic minag. To recite, to learn or even likros, to just read at the table, at the Suda on Rosh Hashanah, to read the four prakim of Meseches Rosh Hashanah. Learn Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah at the Suda. Why? Kihem arba prakim neged dalet osios havaya. The four prakim of Meseches Rosh Hashanah correspond to the four letters of God's name of Rachamim. But we're trying to ma'orer that Rachamim by eating tapuach, which itself, the very structure of the tapuach, hints to Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and by immersing it into the sweet honey, it mamish brings out the hamtakas hadinim, it's the sweetening of all din. V'hainu kidei la'orer Rachamim al yidei Hashem shal midas harachamim. To awaken Hashem's midas harachamim through the tapuach, which alludes to the name of Rachamim. Okay, so you'll say, well, what are Rav Nachman Gishtender teach us here? You know, dip the apple in the honey, and the honey is sweet, and apple. No, but this is a bit. This is a whole new understanding that the apple is mamish meramis yudkei vavkei, which is the shame of Rachamim, and we try to sweeten it that much more by dipping it into the honey. And he also mentions here that again, the minhag of learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah is not stam just to attach ourselves to the Torah of the Yom Tov. The four prakim of Maseches Rosh Hashanah also somehow are meramis to the Shem Havaya. And we're trying to be ma'ora as much as we can, the Midas Rachamim on the Yom Hadin. Okay? That's explanation number two. Yeah?
So both apple and honey are Rachamim?
Right, so apple is Rachamim, and honey is, you know, is that much more total absorption of sweetness. Because Rachamim, again, has a little bit of restraint to it also. Rachamim is a more nuanced type of kindness. So Hashem could say, well, you know, punishing you is part of the Rachmanis. We're asking for revealed good. We just want it to be sweet. And he's going to get back to that point. We'll see a little bit later, he'll get back to that point. Okay, the next one is based on a halacha. Gam yishlomar gimel. Gam yishlomar tam shetovlin atapuach b'dvash. V'chein ha-motzi tovlin b'dvash. Why do we dip the apple in the honey? And not only the apple, we also dip the challah in the honey. Many people have a minhag to dip the challah in honey. What's the inyan of honey? Now we're going to focus on honey more than apple. Okay, the last two focused on apple and honey. This one focuses more on honey. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos an amazing thing about honey, a unique halacha about honey. Ki adavash im nafal bo chaticha shel iser. What happens if you take a piece of pork, a strip of bacon, and it falls into honey? Something which is aser, right? You take a dvar iser, you take something that's not kosher, and it falls into honey. Af al pi sha iser nimuach b'toch hadvash, keivan shederach hadvash lahachsir hadavar shnafal esoch ledvash, lachem kedvash daiminan lei umutar. Amazing, amazing thing about dvash. Rabbeinu Yonah says, sometimes the metzias is, let's forget a piece of bacon falling into the honey. Sometimes there's a metzias that, believe it or not, part of the bee gets stuck in the honey. A bee's leg can sometimes get ripped off in the honey, in the processing of the honey. Sometimes a bee's wing could fall off into the honey. Right? Now, a bee is not kosher. Last I checked, the bee is not kosher. So I'll tell you a double chiddush by honey, says Rav Nachman Gishtetner. First of all, is pig's milk kosher? Pig's milk isn't kosher. Why? What's the simple rule? Because something that comes from tamei is itself tamei. So why is honey even kosher? If bees aren't kosher, how is the honey which is produced by the bee kosher? So the Gemara answers that question. But more than that, what happens about what do I have to do in terms of the concern that maybe a bee's wing fell off into the honey, or a bee's leg falls off into the honey? You know what happens when something falls into honey? Honey, says Rabbeinu Yonah, has such an unbelievable power to transform everything into honey. Again, look where it's underlined. You could take a rock and put it into honey, and over time, it'll eventually, it'll break down, it'll be turned into honey. Honey has this unbelievable property of transforming everything into honey. And therefore, the bee's wing, a davar isser, which falls into honey, eventually becomes honey, becomes kosher. It's an amazing chiddush about honey. V'hineze chiddush gadol, says Rav Nosson Geshtender, this is an amazing halacha. Sheloze bilvacha dvash eno nesar. It's already a chiddush to tell me that a bee can produce a kosher product. Pig's milk isn't kosher because the pig isn't kosher. The fact that a bee can even produce a kosher product is chiddush number one. But more than that, elagam ha'iser nefach lios heter, that mamish, the something usser itself, can become kosher. Big chiddush. V'zoi b'china shel tshuva me'ava. But isn't that exactly what we all want to do during these days? To take our averos and to turn them into mitzvos? What does the Gemara say in Maseches Yoma? The Gemara says, shayidei tshuva me'ava, when a person does tshuva on the highest level, hazedonos nasis kizichuyos. A tamei bee can become something kosher and sweet and delicious. Va'aveira ne'apeches lios mitzvah, that the aveira itself can become a mitzvah. And therefore, ularemez, ularamezeh, ularamezeh, ochlin devash. So why do we eat honey? Why does honey have to come to the suda? We dip the, I was about to say matzah. I love eating matzah, matzah liram. We dip the challah into honey. We dip the apple into honey. Why are we so busy dipping things into honey? Because we're saying, throw yourself into honey. You can transform yourself through honey. You can mamish become a different person when you put yourself into honey. I'll tell you a remez. I'll tell you an amazing remez. There's a sefer called Cham Ratava. Sefer Cham Ratava from the Rebbe of Baranov. He says, what's the gematria of tapuach? Let's start with the apple. What's the gematria of tapuach? Tapuach? What's the vav? 494. What are we going to do with that, yeah? 494. Okay, 494. Tapuach is 494. So the Chamra Tavra, Sefer Chamra Tavra, says that Tapuach, 494, is gematria ha-neshama plus ha-guf. Okay, sometimes we talk about neshama and guf. Here we're talking about ha-neshama and ha-guf. How much is ha-neshama? Ha-neshama is 400. How much is ha-guf? 94. So tapuach is ha-neshama and ha-guf. Ha-neshama and, okay, so some of the tapuach alludes to the two parts of man. Okay. What's the gematria of dvash? Dvash? 306. Okay? So here's what you're trying to do. You're saying, Hashem, I know I have a guf and I have a neshama. Right? But I want to transform my guf to be neshamadik all the time. Not that I want to die, God forbid, and give back my guf. But I want my guf to be able to live neshamadik all the time. So how do I do that? I take ha-guf and I put it into dvash. Right? I take haguf, so haguf plus dvash is gematria tapuach. Basically, the remez works like this, right? You have dvash is the difference between, let me say it like this. Dvash is the difference, 306 is the difference between haguf and haneshama. Right? So the way I understand this remez is that when I take the tapuach, which is the combination of the two, and I put it into dvash, I'm sort of saying I want to surrender the guf and turn my guf into neshama. You hear? Am I saying it in a way that makes sense? Mm-hmm. Tapuach is gematria ha-guf plus ha-neshama. The difference between ha-guf and ha-neshama is dvash. And the goal is by putting the tapuach into the dvash, I'm sort of immersing the guf aspect and trying to just be left with the neshama aspect. I want the whole thing to be transformed into neshama. It's a deep idea. Okay? So that's what we're doing here. The Dvash has this transformative ability to take Averos and turn them into mitzvahs. So by putting food into honey, anything that goes into honey comes out as honey. If you leave it there long enough, okay. Let's go back to that pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shoneich, honey and milk beneath your tongue. Ki teva hadvash lafocha kol ledvash. Ukamo kein teva chalav. Honey, we said, can turn anything into honey. Milk also alludes to something which is being changed over for the better. As I told you, that's the Gemara in Bechoros. Shedam ne'echar, that the blood is withdrawn, v'nasa chalav. That blood becomes milk. Again, the model being a woman who's given birth, who's now going to not get her period and be able to continue to nurse her child. So in a sense, Chazal are saying, again, biologically how that works is a good question, but Chazal are saying her blood has become milk. So it's also this transformation. Milk also has this transformation. V'shneihem romzim al tshuva me'ava shezidonos ne'afachim l'zichuyos. So that's what it means, dvash v'chalav, they share that common property, that they both have the ability to transform. Again, we don't have a minhag to eat milchiks on Rosh Hashanah per se, but we certainly have a minhag to immerse things in honey. And then he ends, he says, Tachas l'shonech means that through the Koach HaTorah, Torah also has the ability to transform a person. So learning definitely has a place in this, but the focus again in terms of the Tapuach and Dvash is that Dvash has this ability to change things into Dvash, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change ourselves through the process of tshuva to turn our averos into mitzvos. Okay, let's turn the page and go on to number 4. Similar to the first one that we learned, the Gemara says that the Jewish people are compared to a tapuach. How are the Jewish people compared to a tapuach? I really have to go soon, so I'm just going to do the last couple very quickly. How are the Jewish people compared to a tapuach? Right? Just like Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, so too, the tapuach produces fruit before leaves. Okay, we'll read where it's underlined in number 4. V'zeh romez sheYisrael rotzim lasos ratzon Hashem tamid. Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. What do you mean nasa v'nishma? How can I say nasa v'nishma? You don't even know what you're signing up for. Okay, it's true. I don't know what I'm signing up for. And the truth is, when I find out what it is, I may not actually be so good at doing it. But what did we express through nasa v'nishma? I want to do it. She Yisrael rotzim lasos ratzon Hashem tamid. Va'af im lif amim ha'maisa eino b'shleimus. And even if sometimes I'm not able to actualize that desire, aval machshavasam tamid letova. But I always want to. I always want to do what's right. Sometimes I do averos. But Hashem, I always want to do what's right. Look how enthusiastic I was when I signed up for Torah. In terms of my performance, maybe I haven't lived up to it. But when I said Nasa v'nishma, you know what my ratzon was, Hashem. Val pi zeh osi shapir ha'da'amr b'gemara. So based on this, we understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, a continuation of the pasuk, ad sha'melech b'misibo nirdi nasan reichel. Amar Rav, adayin chavivusa gabon. The scent of Klal Yisrael is still found by us. Rav says, adayin chavivusa gabon. Their beloved nature is still gabon, is still by them, right? Because the pasuk says nasan, the reyach, the scent. Again, in terms of the actions, maybe not, but the scent, the good scent of Klal Yisrael remains forever. The good smell means the potential of who we want to be. Tosfos says the nasan hu lashon chavivus, atchamelach b'misibo nirdi nasan reicho. Nasan means that there's Hashem loves the smell of Klal Yisrael. Again, we don't always actualize it, but the potential is there. When we do averos, that's only in our actions, but our hearts are never into it. But our desire to do good is always there. The scent of Kabbalah Satorah remains forever. the desire, the passion, the zeal, the commitment of Kabbalah Satorah, again, have we lived up to it? No. But that desire, Hashem says, I haven't forgotten it. What you wanted to do is still very chashuv to me. That's why the Gemara says that when Yitzchak smells the smell of Yaakov, v'yarachas reach bigadav, he smells the smell of his clothing. The Gemara says, and Chazal explained in the Medrash, al tikri bigadav el bogdav. Hashamnu bagadu. I smelled the scent of the sinners. The scent of the sinners. Sinners probably don't have a very good scent. So says the Lesson Gestetner, they do have a good scent. Their actions aren't good. But their scent, Hashem smells who they want to be, and Hashem identifies that when Jews do averos, it's always superficial. It's not who we are. Lomer sha'afilu poshe Yisrael malei mitzvos karimon. Even the biggest sinner amongst Klal Yisrael is filled with mitzvos like a rimon. V'zen nirmas b'stei tapuchim she'gdimu nasa l'nishma. And that's hinted to, again, through the apple, which represents our nasa before nishma. V'lechein b'rosh Hashanah. Shritzoneinu lahamlitz tov al Yisrael. So when we want to be ma'orer good things on Klal Yisrael, we eat a tapuach. Tapuach represents our potential. Again, he's not saying the same thing that he said in the first piece. What do we say in the first piece? What was the first explanation? The first explanation was what? That we went lefnim yishur asadin by saying nasa v'neshma. So we ask you, Hashem, to go lefnim yishur asadin. Right? We highlight the nasa, the commitment of nasa. Here we're saying a different thing. Here we're saying the tapuach, the scent of the tapuach, the stei tapuchim that Yitzchak smelled when Yaakov walked into the room. He smelled that what? That in the future there's going to be sinners from the children of Yaakov. But the ratzon to do good is still there. So we say, Hashem, listen, it could be this past year in terms of my performance, it wasn't great. But I have a ratzon to be better. And I hope you'll take that into consideration. Okay, that's what's alluded to again by the tapuach. Okay? All right, let's do one more for now. We'll end with the fifth one. Do one last one, then I really have to go. This is a nice one. V'yesh lomar od tam al pi masha kasev tosos and brachos. When we eat food, we have a bracha, berei nefashos rabos v'chesronam. Hashem, you made all sorts of creatures, v'chesronam, and you provide them with their chesronos, the things that are lacking in their life. You provide them with the things that they need. We all have things that we need, essentials in our life. Hashem, you made people, and you made sure that we would have what we need. Says Tosfos, berei nefashos rabos v'chesronam. What are things that we need? Do I need the latest iPhone? No, I don't need it. I may want it, but I certainly don't need it. So what are needs? What are essentials? Says Tosfos, berei nefashos rabos, you made all sorts of creatures, beings, v'chesronam, and the things that they need, their necessities to survive, k'mo lechem u'mayim, she'efshar b'lohim. You can't live without bread and water. So Hashem, if you gave me life, you have to provide me with food. V'al kol ma shebara l'chayos behem nefesh kol chay. Klomar, this is all Tosfos, explaining the bracha of Brei Nefashos. Al kol ma sheba'olam, shegam im lo baram, yechol in ha'olam l'chayos b'lohem. Hashem, you made people with the things that they need to survive, and then you made all sorts of other things, things that are much more than we actually need. A lot of things in the world that Hashem made for us to enjoy that we don't need. Berei nefashos rabos v'chesronam. Al kol ma shebarasa l'achayos pe'am nefesh kol chai. You made all sorts of other things that I don't need. They're not essential. But Hashem made them for us to enjoy. Shalom baram ki'im letanug ba'alma. Hashem, you just made them for people to enjoy. And then Tosfos gives an example. What's something that God made that we don't need, but we like? Tapuchim, apples. You survived without, good without apples. And things like that. You don't need apples. So says Rav Nassim Geshtetner. So what do you see? A tapuach is Tosfos's, you know, ultimate example. It's the paradigm of something that you don't really need. Oh, an apple, an iPhone, an apple. You don't need apple. Oh, I got to tell this to this is like a Rav Mishor type of. No. Tosfos says you don't need apples. You don't need apples. Why do people think they need apples? Okay, good. Got a good fiery drasha for the... Okay, for someone. It's not my style, but for someone it's a good fiery drasha. Harid tapuchim u'davar shem letanug ba'alma. Apples are just for fun. Apples are just for enjoyment. Ve'ena min ha'achreyach. So Cheres, why do we bring apples to the table in Rosh Hashanah? We say, Hashem, I'm asking this year, don't just give me what I need. I know, Hashem, it's a lot to ask even for the bare necessities. To be able to pay my bills is already asking a lot. But I put an apple on the table to say, Hashem, please have such rachmanis on me that what? You give me even the things that I don't really need. Let it be a year of shefa and bracha and harvacha. Because we're being judged in Rosh Hashanah for our food for the whole year. Everything's being determined in these 10 days, as the Gemara in Beitza says. And therefore, mevakshim shakadosh baruch hu yamti lanu mizonoseinu b'chol hashana, lo rak mashehu min hachreach. Hashem, please, don't just give us the bare minimum, where I'm living from one paycheck to the next. Ele b'harvacha v'harchava. It should be an abundance. Ki'inina tapuach shu yoser min hachreach. And why do I dip it in honey? Because honey is certainly also a non-essential in my life. Matbilan oso b'dvash, asher huvadai davar shel tanug. Honey is, you know, it's a delicacy. In the ancient world, in some societies, honey was more valuable than gold. Honey was considered a tremendous delicacy. So I say, Hashem, you know, while we're going for it, Hashem, give me shefa and bracha with tremendous success. Like the Navi Malachi says, that Hashem should pour down His bracha upon us ad blidai. Okay, so five explanations for why we bring tapuach and dvash to the table. Just to review very quickly. What was number one? That we went lifnim yishura sadin when we said nasa v'nishma. So Hashem, we hope that tapuach and dvash both allude to nasa. And Hashem should go lifnim yishura sadin with us. Number two, that the tapuach, the shape of the tapuach is Shem Havaya, which is already a name of rachamim, and we dip it in honey to sweeten the rachamim even that much more. Number three, honey has this awesome transformative ability to take something and to make it into honey, and therefore we want to take our averos and turn them into mitzvos. That's the power of honey. Number four, that we have a ratzon to do good, even if we're not always able to live up to it, but nasa v'nishma was also an expression of our ratzon, the good smell of a Jew, which alludes to the scent of Gan Eden, which Yaakov Avinu had at the time he got the bracha, even though he looked like Esav on the outside, but he smelled like Yaakov Avinu on the inside. And lastly, what? That an apple is the ultimate example of something which is not necessary, but Hashem gave it to us for us to enjoy. And we hope that Hashem will give us not only the things that we need, but Hashem will give us a year filled with all sorts of pleasurable experiences. Beautiful. Okay? Beautiful, no?
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Okay, Shkaya Chera.
Can you repeat that from the...